Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, and it's time to come and reason together through the Bible. So get your cup of coffee and your Bible.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Jesse from Camas, Washington.
This is Landon from Camas, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We're now in Luke chapter 3, verses 18 to 20.
With many other exhortations, therefore preached he good tidings to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, the wife of his brother, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added this also to them all. He shut up John in prison.
That's interesting. There's a politics going after the church. Herod is a politics, political leader. You know, people have asked, what politics would Jesus be? You know, if he were on the earth and the Democrats would say Democrat and Republicans would say Republican and the communists would say communist. Of course, I don't know if they believe in Christ, but some of the people in Russia do. Or there's maybe 100 million, they say, Christians in China.
You know, Herodians, people read in the Bible and they read the Herodians and they don't know who that's talking about. And what Gil just said is that he was talking about tying it to like us talking about politics now.
Did you know what the word politics means? It's in the Bible. It's the Greek word for city. It's where people live in
the rules around the city.
Yes, for running a city, for operating a city, for everybody to get along, not kill each other. You know, like Joseph told his brothers when they were on the way back to see their dad, don't fight on the way. You know, so you get a police force and make sure there's enough water. So you have water utilities and wastewater management. But it has to do with all the things that make a city, provides all the needs for everybody, the physical and mental needs. That's what politics means, but it's a Greek word. And it means the city, and it doesn't mean the country necessarily or whatever, but you could expand that to a group of cities or and so on, but it actually means on how everybody's needs are provided for.
So the Herodians were the people that did that sort of function within Jerusalem because they were tied to Rome and they were tied to that and they had to do all of those functions and somebody had to keep track of all those details and the people that did all that work. And that makes really good sense. I see that.
I would say in Jerusalem, you probably have politics or the city really being run by the religion, the center of it being the temple. Everything would be circumspect regarding the temple, regarding how you get there and there's peace around the temple and so on. You certainly don't just charge a firearm near the temple.
And so these people rubbed together. They were interworking with each other.
With the highest or the greatest authority being the church. Well, in America, that's lost its flavor. I think it used to be much stronger. And God and country. I think God and country were always mentioned in that order. But Herodian is generally the politics.
And they had interaction then with the priests, the chief priests, all of these people, the Pharisees, all of those people were working together in regard.
But at this time, Israel was not free anymore. They were under the captivity. We're still free, but you wait and see what it's going to be like if and when. Let's say Europe takes over America, or maybe China will invade and conquer America. The politics is going to change. The Herodian doctrine is going to change. The politics of the day is the Herodians. And then you had the scribes and the Pharisees, the different degrees of religion, the ones that were technical people, the other ones were the feel-good people, and they really didn't know the Bible that much. They just did what suited them. They'd be called the Sadducees. Anything else on that one?
I just think it's funny that his name is Herod and his wife's name's Herodias. I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
Play with that one with your own name.
Okay.
Andy and Andius and
yes.
Jesse and Jessias. Landon and Landonus.
And John got thrown in prison because he talked to Herodias, the politic guy, and his wife didn't like what he said, and his wife got on her husband Herod and got John thrown into prison.
He actually didn't want him. He wanted him in prison. He got mad and put him in prison so he would shut his mouth.
Right.
But the wife really wanted him dead, and he didn't. I think he regretted it. But I can't say that because I don't know if we read that yet.
Maybe in Matthew and Mark it talked a little bit about it. But yes, she was someone that was, and the whole point that it's not bringing out here, it will bring out later. So I won't say it.
So we'll wait till we read it.
Yes.
We read it. Okay, the next context is Luke 3, 21 through 22. How about let's let Landon read that one.
Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And when he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased."
How would you like to have that said about you? Did you know that actually happens when a person is baptized? Heaven is actually opened. Your access to heaven is actually opened when you come out of the water. And that's why it means to be born up. Can you see, you know, people use that term born again. They're not saying the Greek right. The word anna means up. Not to be reborn is a whole different preposition. This word is to be born up with what, Andy? Onathen.
Onathen. Up with force.
In other words, the force, like a rocket taking off from Cape Canaveral, Florida, or from Vandenberg Air Force Base, the big base in California where Don Bodie, that's where he grew up. And that initial blast, we could feel it 20, 30 miles away in the little country town that I grew up in, Solvang, California. So we'd run out of the door when we felt the ground shake. 20, 30 miles away, the ground would shake. We're going, it's an earthquake. And then we'd look out and here's a contrail. No, it's just another big missile shooting something way up into outer space. And that's exactly what that term onathen genesis. And genesis, that's a funny term, isn't it? That you went born again. Nobody says onathen your genesis. What book is Genesis?
The first book.
And what's it about, Landon? Is it about the creation?
Yeah.
And what did God create man in the image of?
Himself.
Yeah, of himself. And so this is actually the beginning of you. Did you know that when you are baptized, you are actually, that word creation, bara, in the Hebrew, ketesis in the Greek, is used as to what happens to you when you're baptized. The Genesis starts in your life. You came as a fallen, you know, you were born from your mom in the fallen image of Adam. Just think of that missile taking off in Vandenberg, and they don't move really quickly at first. You know, that roar and rumble and so on, and all of a sudden it starts leaving the ground, goes faster and faster, but baptism is different. It happens the moment you go under the water. It says, when you go through the water, I will be there. That's Jesus speaking.
And it immediately enacts things in heaven too, as people are registered. They're registered.
And Peter's name, Jesus told him about his new name, but he didn't get it right then. He got it when he was baptized. When you're circumcised in the heart, at circumcision is when you get your name. It happened at 8 days with a baby. And they wondered, remember about John the Baptist, going back in that story that we just read, his name was not foretold until the 8 days when they circumcised the poor little kid who was screaming like crazy. And but this is a circumcision made without hands in baptism. It's done under the water. And this is where the child gets his name. Well, Peter's name was Cephas, or Simon Peter, he was called, or Cephas. And Jesus said, now you are going to be a small image, a chip off the old rock, a small image of me. You're going to be like I am. So he called him Peter. Peter means a chip of the rock, a small piece of rock, not the rock of the church. Jesus is that. He is the cornerstone. And heaven is opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove. It doesn't say he looked like a dove, but the motion, I would say the motion, gently. You know, have you ever seen a dove? We have doves that come in our yard. They're always very, they make a little bit of a noise, you know, kind of a little, you can actually see something going on when they land, but it's a gentle motion when they come. And it came upon him, and that's epi, like epidermis, like your skin. And a voice out of heaven came out of heaven, you are my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased. Put yourself in that shoe. I'm of the opinion, and I know it's a fact, that every time a person is baptized, that is said about that person. And the new name is given, except for we don't know that new name yet. You ever wonder what your new name is?
I do. It's a name that nobody knows yet.
Yeah.
Helene used to ask me questions like this. Andy, I just want to know my new name. Can you tell me what that is? And I said, Helene, no. Can you ask me another question? I even showed her in the Bible, and she goes, I know, but I just want to know. I said, well, okay.
No man knows.
No man knows.
I don't believe Peter is actually his final name because there's going to be a new language, a language in which nobody has ever taken the Lord's name in vain. When Mystery Babylon is destroyed, read Revelation chapter 17 and 18. By the way, Mystery Babylon is the haunt of every demon. And that'll be a language that will not be allowed to be used because the false church, including all the haunt of all the demons, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And this false church with the demons are gone. They're destroyed at that moment in time, which is coming up. And there's going to be a brand new language on the earth during this 1,000-year reign when God reigns on the earth. And our new names, we will then know and be speaking to each other. And you'll just know your new name because it'll be you. It'll be your character. It'll be you. Peter became the chip off the old rock. It became him. You don't see that in the Gospels. But when we get to the book of Acts and we start doing that and read it chapter by chapter and go through the context by context, not verse by verse, that one doesn't work. They tried that in their churches and people get to massage that the way they want to. But if you look at it context by context, you see the full thought, don't you? And I have this strong sense that we will be our name will describe us to a T. It will be our character. It'll be our substance. Just like Judas Iscariot, that was his name. But on the opposite
for the good.
Of the spectrum, yeah. Is there anything else before we go into the genealogy?
In you, I am well pleased. What a thought is that? To have God well pleased with you.
You know, I felt like I was flying home after I drove up to Seattle 8 hours from Grants Pass, Oregon, and got baptized. I literally felt like I was not attached to the ground. I mean, I wasn't having a trip or anything else like that, but I drove home and it seemed like it was a very easy trip. I felt like I flew.
It's a joy that you can't ascertain before.
Yeah.
It's funny you'd say it that way because I've described that coming back from when I got baptized too. Like I said it was like I was riding on the tops of the street lights. And I didn't really know how to explain it, but it was something that had happened that sent me in a place that I'd never been before.
Freedom, like you were set free.
Just free.
For the first time.
Yeah.
Like Martin Luther King used to say, Junior, free at last, free at last. Glory, hallelujah, free at last. And they were explaining it that way, but that is not even close to what it's like when you're baptized. About next context, this goes through the genealogy, chapter 3, verses 23 through 38.
And Jesus himself, when he began, was about 30 years old, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, of Heli, of Matat, of Levi, of Melchi, of Janai, of Joseph, of Matthias, of Amos, of Nahum, of Esli, of Nagai, of Math, of Mathathias, of Simeon, of Josech, of Joda, of Jonan, of Risha, of Zerubbabel, of Salathiel, of Neri, of Melchi, of Adi, of Kasim, of Almadam, of of Jesus.
That's not Jesus. It's not the Savior Jesus. Maybe Jesus. I don't know. Yeah.
Of Eleazar, of Jorium, of Matthat, of Levi, of Simeon, of Judah, of Joseph, of Jonam, of Eliakim, of Milia, of Mina, of Mahata, of Nathan, of David, of Jesse, of Obed, of Boaz, of Selah, of Nasson, of Admin, of Arni, of Hezron, of Pharis, of Judah, of Jacob, of Isaac, of Abraham, of Therah, of Nahor, of Seruk, of Ragua, of Phalek, of Eber, of Selah, of Canaan, of Arphaxad, of Shem, of Noah, of Lamech, of Methuselah, of Enoch, of Jared, of Malilel, of Canaan, of Enos, of Seth, of Adam.
The genealogy here in Luke is, of course, different than the one in Matthew. Matthew starts with Abraham, and that is about the middle way of the Old Testament, about 2000 B.C., and then it goes on to David, who's about 1000 BC, and it's the lineage between Abraham to David, and it told of in Genesis 17, 16, verses 15 through 16, and also verses 4 and 6, it said that Abraham, out of Abraham, kings would come. He is the one that a king is going to come, and it was foretelling Jesus being the king, which will be shown here pretty soon when he comes back and rules and reigns on the earth, and he becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it also attributed that to Sarah. So right there is, the Matthew starts with the genealogy of the king. Jesus is king. And he's the son of the kingmaker, Abraham, being really God. God gave it to Abraham. Now, this lineage is a different lineage, and it focuses on the fact that Jesus is the son of Adam. He's the son of a fallen man. Not Adam before he fell, but after he fell. And his first son is the fallen son, after that was given birth after they both, Adam and Eve, fell. So he's the son of man here, The lineage in Matthew is he is comes as a king, and he comes as the king of the kingdom of the heavens. Jesus is king, and it's the kingdom of the heavens. He is going to come back to earth and rule on earth shortly. It won't be just a few years down the road, maybe in my lifetime, maybe in Andy's lifetime, maybe in Jesse's lifetime, or Landon's lifetime, that he will return and be the king. And so the lineage in this goes all the way back here in Luke, and it starts and goes backwards. It goes ahead in time from Abraham to David to the falling away into the false church, and then to where Jesus is born. And here it starts with Jesus and goes backwards to Adam. And Mary's involved in this lineage. In this lineage, by the way, you can prove that Jesus was actually adopted by Joseph, because it calls him of Joseph, doesn't it, at the end? So he's been adopted by him. There's, you know, every point of law on how a child is born is shown in here. Even when a brother dies and the son takes over the family, it's actually shown in this. Mary was never a Levite, but she had a cousin who was a Levite, so a relative of hers was a Levite. But this is still, you can see David in here and a different son to David, can't you? You have Nathan instead of Solomon. David to Solomon versus David to Nathan in this lineage in Luke. But you can still see that same tribe of Judah. You can still see that with Mary. And yet you can still see the priesthood with Jesus, and we know that she's a relative because that's talked about in the story that we just read about her cousin, Elizabeth, who is with child. And so this is a very interesting thing. We know Jesus was born a miraculous birth, but still born of a woman, just like the scripture said, but every point of the law is fulfilled in the adoption process. And aren't we adopted? It shows that the adoption is going to go out. First, the word is going to go out to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. A Jew is not one who is outward, but he is one who is a Jew whose circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, according to the spirit. Any comments on that? It's a different and an interesting genealogy, isn't it? And I don't want to go too deeply into that, but does that pretty much answer your questions about that?
You know, in this genealogy, when you start going back into it, starting at Jesus is going back to Joseph and all that. All of these people's names, I don't know much about any of them, but that just runs right across time there.
It does.
I tried to look them up one time. I go, no, there they are right there.
Yeah, they actually work. It's very interesting.
Well, it's
when you
real,
look at
yes.
the points of law, it fulfills, and you can see that adoption by Joseph of adopting Jesus as his own son. He is the firstborn in his family. And the family that is that interesting family is his relationship to Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother.
There was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness, make his path straight, to make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. was a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. Make his path straight. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, called to be a prophet of the Most High. He went before the face of the Lord to prepare his way and give the knowledge of salvation to his people. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. Make his path straight. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness and saying, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And then all the land of Judah and those from Jerusalem were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. Make his path straight. And preach to them, saying, indeed I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. Make his path straight. Make his path straight.
The way it talks about in the scripture that is being talked about is a highway, and it says a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. Jesus says, come and follow me, and we follow him in the way. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.